You've heard all about this whole paleo thing, but you've wondered if it's really for you. You've been searching for someone to guide you along the way. Your search is over. Let registered nurse Marie Grace Berg lead the way with these inspiring stories of people who have been where you are. Welcome to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy with Marie Grace Berg.
Have you ever wondered why you're having a hard time losing weight? Eat More, Burn More is focused on helping you transform your body into a fat-burning mode by turning off the hormone that sabotages your fat loss. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more. All right, paleo fans out there, let's get started. I am excited to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Keith Norris. Keith Norris is the co-founder of the PaleoFX, an annual event considered to be the largest paleo health event in the world, who helps people understand how to put the theory into practice. Their motto, heal thyself, harden thyself, and change the world. Keith is also passionate about achieving what he calls the physical culture high life. His approach to health and wellness are boiled down to the three pillars: smart exercise, appropriate lifestyle, which includes diet and sleep, and informed testing, hacks, and supplementation. We are thrilled to hear his story as we take him back to his journey when he first started living the paleo lifestyle. To our paleo fans, Keith Norris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Marie. It's great to be here. And thanks for the rocking introduction. That was awesome.
Awesome. So I'm going to dive right into our topic for today. So let's start with, what made you decide to go paleo or to follow the tenets of a paleo lifestyle?
Sure. Well, I should back up and say that I've been a lifelong athlete. I got into physical culture as a whole. Even as a young child, I ran AAU track competitively. I was involved in martial arts. I got picked up at a very early age for an AAU Junior Olympic track program. And at that time, the AAU was a precursor to the Olympics. So it was a talent identification program. Along with that was some very, very, very high level coaching. So I was immersed in the physical culture scene and the strength and conditioning scene from a very, very young age. And this was some advanced strength and conditioning. Of course, along with the strength and conditioning came diet. Now, at that time, it was not known as a paleo diet, of course. But as I look back on it now, the basic tenets were there. And, you know, when you think of how the paleo diet is now, I mean, how could it not be, right? I mean, the tenets of that diet at that particular time were just known as good, healthy eating. And it was known also at that time that if you wanted an athlete to either put on a lot of weight, and not necessarily good weight, but if you had a weight class athlete that you wanted to put weight on, or conversely, if you had a weight class athlete that you wanted to cut weight from, you manipulated their carbohydrate intake, and specifically you regulated their grain intake. And again, at that time, no one really knew why it worked, but they just knew that it did work. So I can take that information and then flash forward past my high school and college career. I played football as a scholarship athlete at Texas State. Following that, I went into the military for a 9-year career in which I was very, very physically active and kept in the strength and conditioning field, kept very up to date on it. And even after my military career, when I went to work for corporate America, I was still actively involved in the strength and conditioning scene. And that whole time, again, the diet was a big part of that. And at that time, again, it was still not known as a paleo diet. It was just known as healthy eating. And we still would manipulate grains to either help an athlete gain weight or to lose weight. About the year 2000, 99, somewhere in there, the ease and access of communicating with people via the internet became, you know, super, super easy. And along that time, I ran into a couple guys named Rob Wolf and Art Devaney, and would have some pretty deep discussions with them about diet. And specifically, I was looking for performance enhancements through diet because I was helping some high school wrestlers at that time. And I wanted to help them, of course, better their performance and control their weight a lot better. And, you know, I ran into these two guys, Art and Rob, and they're kind of giving me this evolutionary spin on the whole thing. And quite seriously and honestly, at that time, I was not really concerned about the health aspects of the diet. But I'm a pretty curious guy. And, you know, at first I was incredulous. You know, they were talking about autoimmune problems that would crop up resultant of eating grains. And at that time, you know, gluten intolerance was pretty much unheard of. I had heard of a couple instances of it, but I thought it was really, at that time, I thought it was more of a mental condition than anything. Mm-hmm. I really didn't put a whole lot of credence into it, but the more that these two guys fed me information-wise, and the more I read about it, the more I dug into it on my own, I thought, wow, these guys are really onto something. I think there is really an internal health aspect to this whole diet. Also along about that time, I never really ate a whole lot of carbohydrates. I ate very, very little what you would call trash food, very, very little sweets or anything like that. It was just never really drawn to them. But I did have a fairly good amount of grains in my diet. And along that time, about the same time that I had made contact with Rob and Art Devaney, I was having some elevated blood pressure issues. And, you know, I could never figure out, you know, why is this? I mean, I am super, super healthy. I've stayed in shape my entire life. Why would my blood pressure start to creep higher and higher? And almost to the point of the doctor saying, you know, if you don't get control of this, we're going to have to put you on medication to lower your blood pressure. And I just could not wrap my mind around what the problem was. I mean, I could not find anything in my diet that would cause my blood pressure to drive up like that. And if anybody knows me, it's not like I'm a high stress person. I'm pretty laid back. In fact, that's what most people will say about me is, wow, you're a really laid back guy for being so athletic and so big. I mean, you're super chill. And I was, and I always have been. So stress really couldn't be a part of it. But long story short, along that time, I was giving blood pretty much on a time schedule because they would come and visit my office when I worked a corporate America job. They would be out there every 56 days like clockwork, and I would give blood. Every time I would go in, the nurse would check my blood pressure. She would, you know, give me the little spiel about how it's elevated, but not necessarily high. And we would go through this whole thing. She'd check it again. It would still be elevated. And so, long story short, I had pretty much, on Art's advice and Rob Wolf's advice, cut grains out of my diet. Personally, I didn't see externally any change whatsoever in my body. I didn't feel any different. I didn't look any different. But, you know, body composition, I was still at a very low body fat percentage, really didn't perform any different. But after eating that way for about 3 weeks, I went back in to give blood again. Nurse wrapped the cuff around my arm, and she went on and started to draw blood. And I asked her, you know, what was my blood pressure? And she said, oh, it was fine. And I said, oh, that's curious, because it's usually elevated. And I asked her to check it again, and she checked it again, and it was fine. And I have never since had any problems whatsoever with elevated blood pressure. Now, I tell everybody when I relay the story to them that I'm not saying that that's an absolute causation. I don't know. It could be total coincidence. But I'm just laying it out there that after removing grains from my diet, that my blood pressure normalized. And I train many, many clients throughout the day. I am a part owner in Efficient Exercise here in Austin. We have another studio in San Antonio, so four different studios, a lot of clients. And I have seen all different kinds of ills that are caused by the consumption of grains that aren't necessarily those type of ills that will jump up and slap you in the face, like body composition or gluten intolerance or any of the big ones that people think of. A lot of times they're subtle, just like it was in me. That was a very, very subtle change that that, you know, otherwise I would not have ever been clued into. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell. And, you know, my personal story, I wasn't one of those people that lost a ton of weight, you know, no big health transformations. And that's probably the only thing that I can hang my hat on health-wise, because I caught this rather early too, and I'm a pretty Wolverine-like person. My body can take a lot of abuse, but apparently the blood pressure was some kind of an internal inflammation reaction that I had to grains. Now I can tell you a bunch of stories of just miraculous transformations of clients that I've had, and in my own life, Michelle had a miraculous transformation. In fact, she was to the point with fibromyalgia-like symptoms that, I mean, she was on the brink of a meltdown, until, you know, I finally convinced her, hey, I think we need to pull grains out of your diet, and specifically glutens, and I think that's where your problem lies. And in fact, Marie, you should probably have her on the show too. She could tell you a fantastic story about coming into this paleo movement really kicking and screaming. I mean, she wanted nothing to do with it. She was an Italian chef. She wanted nothing to do with this lifestyle. She thought it was hokey. She thought it would, you know, she thought, hey, I'm an Italian chef. There's no way I'm gluten intolerant. And it took me a long time to convince her otherwise. And it's rather ironic that now, and she is the CEO of PaleoFX, and that's how transformational this can be in people's lives. Because once they see how this diet affects their lives positively, I mean, they are on it, and they are sold, and they are convinced. And, you know, some people like Michelle go on to just invest the rest of their lives into trying to teach everybody about this diet. So that's my story in a nutshell.
Well, thank you for sharing that one. And you know what, Keith? I think I'm going to take you up on that. I'd love to hear the story of Michelle, and I'm sure our listeners would really benefit from her experience as well. So that will be for another talk.
Yeah.
And let me just summarize what you said. So all along, you were already following what you called a healthy way of eating, but then it was with the incident with your blood pressure that made you think that, okay, what is it that's causing this? And I like the fact that you went in the natural way of treating it versus, you know, going popping in some pills or like that. And
sure, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, it could be the grain, it could be something else, but still, at least you isolated something that I'm sure our listeners can learn from. So you cut back on the grain, and you know what? That's 3 weeks and to get your blood pressure to normal range. Wow, that's unbelievable. That's really inspiring. I mean, for me, as a nurse, I see people every day in the hospital and having these problems, and I know, and I'm sure they're aware of it, that it's a lifestyle illness. And if we could just, like what you did, isolate those things that we know can contribute to it, that is gonna be really helpful. And so I really appreciate you sharing that. And I love your story wherein you break it into events in your life that I'm sure our listeners can relate to. So our next topic will be, it's about how you transitioned to the paleo diet. What was it like? Was it hard for you? Or I know you cut back, you were already eating healthy, but take us back then when you started cutting on grains. How was that?
Yeah, it's so I have a personality type that is, if I'm convinced of something and that something's right, and at this point I was, then I can cut out whatever it is. And that's just my personality type. I'm one of those that if I'm convinced in my mind that it's the right path, then I immediately make a shift and I go with it. And like I say, I really didn't eat a whole lot of grains. I mean, I ate some, but it wasn't a lot. And for me then, it wasn't that big of a transition personally. Socially, it was a very tough transition because, like I say, Michelle was an Italian chef. At that time, we had four kids in the house who they were anything but paleo. So So I was having to navigate this, you know, with them eating essentially a standard American diet. And I should say at that time that our, you know, our diets were pretty healthy, you know, as a family. We weren't totally off the rails, but it was enough that my transition was, you know, it was tough socially. It was just kind of tough to eat dinner with everybody. And like I say, Michelle was an Italian chef. She would make homemade pastas, and every luscious Italian dish you can think of. And, you know, finally at one point she said, "Wow, you are really not ever going to eat pasta anymore, are you?" And I said, "No, now that I have in my mind anyway, a positive correlation between what these grains have been doing in my body and what results happen when I completely cut them out, I'm not going to sacrifice my health. You know, your pasta is wonderful. Believe me, it is out of this world wonderful, but I'm not going to sacrifice my health to eat that." And that really kind of opened her eyes too. She's like, "Wow, he's serious about this. He's really, you know, he thinks he's really onto something." So that got her to start saying, "Okay, send me some information on this wacky diet that you're talking about." So my transformation wasn't very difficult at all personally. I have shepherded people through, some clients of mine whose transition has been anything but easy. I have seen people addicted to sugar like it was heroin. I mean, serious, serious withdrawal symptoms, just hellacious withdrawal symptoms. Luckily, I did not have to go through any of that. Michelle went through a little bit of it, but not too bad. So it depends on the person, that person's personality, and how metabolically broken that person is, and how much that person is addicted to sugars and grains and these other things. And I think that addictive property that sugars and grains have is N=1 dependent. In other words, it affects everybody a little bit different. Some people can pull right off of it, have no problem. Other people, it is excruciating. And I've worked with every degree of person in my personal training business. So, but I know it can be done. Even for the person who this seems so insurmountable to give up grains and sugars, I have seen it done. You know, it's a step-by-step process for some. Some people it's two steps forward, one step back. Other people it's just an easy, "Hey, I'm done with it and let's move on." But everybody can do it.
What you have just shared really resonates with a portion of our listeners, because I myself, I mean, the social pressure alone, sure, is a big thing. When your friends see you that you're eating a certain way, they used to say, "Oh, well, you're a freak," or something like that. So I can totally relate to you that it's a challenge, and it's something that you, like what you've said, that to remain committed with it and say, like for example, when you said, "I'm not gonna eat pasta," that's it. You just have to be committed and be consistent with it. So to our listeners out there, there will be some challenges that you're gonna be facing, and especially the social pressures that you're gonna be, you know, the friends and the family, even our family, and that's the hardest part when it is within your family.
Family is the hardest part, and I can say, you know, Michelle and I run the biggest paleo event in the world in Paleo FX, and nobody in our family is paleo. So that makes, obviously, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas dinners, these kinds of things a little bit hard to navigate. But I mean, we've been doing this for so long, we don't even think twice about it. We can go into what you might call quote unquote enemy territory and navigate the food, and the people throwing those events would never know that we ate any different. I mean, after a while, you just get so good of knowing what you can eat, what you can't eat, you know, what's healthy for you, making good choices, and really what people, I mean, what you're there for is a social interaction. The food just kind of facilitates that, right? So when we go into events like this, or when we go out to eat with large groups of people, we are totally committed to the social interaction, and the food is just secondary. If that makes any sense. So, I mean, we carry on conversations, eye contact, we're fully invested in the conversations and the people that are there, and the people don't even realize that we're eating any different, or that we're passing on certain things, or that, you know, we're going to skip on this course, and maybe we'll have a couple of nibbles of this course, because we're so committed into the social interaction, they don't even realize it. And we don't preach either. I mean, that's another thing. If people ask, we'll tell. And we're all about, you know, discussing our lifestyle and telling people who want to know about it. But we don't preach to people who don't want to hear, because, you know, that can just turn people off really quick. But yeah, so the social interactions, we're all about them, and the food is just a secondary, it's a prop. So that's the way we look at it.
Exactly. I like that point of view that you've just said, because food is a social aspect of our life. Like it's a form of gathering for other people, and especially for big families like that, it is a social event. So yeah, I'm with you with not preaching this what you're doing, but role modeling it. And if those who are interested with it, then they're welcome.
They are, and people know, and our families know what we do for a living, and people that come to the events know what we do for a living, and you know, the question comes up, obviously, at this point in our career now, you know, people come up and say, hey, I've noticed you've skipped on the stuffing, just for say, you know, why is it that you don't eat stuffing? And that's just an in for us to, you know, to discuss the paleo diet with them. But at the same time, we feel like we should put those people at ease too. I don't want to go into a situation and have people think that I'm judging them. That's the last thing I want. Which goes back to the ease of social interaction. We're very good about that. You know, we engage, we talk, we laugh, we have a fantastic time. And if someone wants to know about why we're eating the way we do, we'll touch on a little bit, we'll move on. I'll let them ask the questions. I don't preach. And it makes everybody at the event, puts everybody at ease.
So let's talk about the measuring your success with the paleo diet or following the paleo lifestyle. What have been your benchmark that you said, okay, this is really working for me? I know you touched about your blood pressure thing and the physical side of it, but I'd like you to talk about what has been your way of measuring that you are successful with it, so that our listeners can see themselves like, okay, I'm looking into being like this or to this in a certain time frame or like that.
Yeah, well I can touch on it in a couple of different ways. I will touch on it the way most of my clients, the way I've set it up for them, and I will kind of talk a little bit personally. Like I say, I have been involved in some pretty high level athletics my entire life, so and the people I train are not the people I train are doctors and lawyers, nurses, your everyday people. So, you know, part of being an athlete is having the willpower to make it through certain hard times. And that has always come very, very easy to me. So, you know, transitioning into this diet, like I said before, was really not a problem at all. For my clients, as for benchmarks, as they move forward, it's the easiest one and the most obvious is body composition. And you don't have to get real fancy about body composition. I tell people, number one, you know, look in the mirror, ask your significant other to tell you how you look, and you can tell changes so fast on this diet. And the biggest change that occurs in the first couple of weeks is the loss of water weight due to your body not being so internally inflamed anymore. And that's a huge boost for a lot of people who are just getting into this, because that initial flush of toxicity and water from their systems, it enlightens them. I mean, they feel, you know, the 10 or 20 pounds lighter, they just feel better. And it's not just a weight issue either. It's something occurs in the mind as well when the body is not inflamed. And that gives a boost for the people that, you know, that they get immediate positive feedback from that, and then they can continue to go and continue to get better. One of the other benchmarks, you know, along with that is, and especially I have to tell females this, because in my realm, the females and the males too, but where this comes to bear mostly is in the females, because we are weight training and we're doing serious weight training. Many times the weight on the scale will bog down for them because they're putting on muscle at the same time they're losing fat and water. And unfortunately, females in this generation, in this era, are so transfixed to the scale, they really can't get around it. And God forbid if that scale moves the other way going up. And I've had many, many female meltdowns over that occurrence. But, you know, I have to pull them back and say, look, you're putting on muscle at the same time you're losing body fat. Your body is transforming. I mean, there's a total metamorphosis going on here. And I will bring it back to them and say, how do your clothes fit? And it's funny because I've had these conversations with females before and they're like, well, I've lost 5 dress sizes, but my weight is going up. Like, okay, let's back up just a second. You just told me you've dropped 5 dress sizes. Does the weight matter? Does the scale matter at all to you right now? It should not matter in the least little bit. But I have to get them past that conditioning to step on the scale every 5 minutes and look at it and monitor that. And the body just doesn't work that way. I mean, the body is not a linear mechanism. It's not input output. I mean, it takes time. There's peaks and valleys in everybody's weight loss, or in fat loss and muscle gain. Conversely, on the other side of that, there's peaks and valleys in that as well. But those are the most easily accessed points of progress that I can give anybody, and they're very, very basic, right? Everybody wants numbers, and people want to sell numbers, but really that doesn't matter. What really matters is A, how do your clothes fit? B, how do you look in the mirror? And C, how are you feeling internally? That's huge, and I think that's one thing that's not touched on a whole lot, is how do you feel internally? I mean, you can tell when your mind is not in a fog. And you can tell if you feel lively, and you can tell if you feel spry and ready to go, and you feel like working out, you're not having to drag yourself to the gym. All of these things are the positive manifestations of the incorporating this diet. And those are, in my mind, those are the real measurables. Those are the things that you can go on, and those are the things that can take you through a lifetime of being on this diet. Because what happens is, inevitably, people will be on this diet for a while, and they will slip up, and they will, you know, be out in an event or whatever, and they'll say, you know, I'll go ahead. I haven't had pizza in 2 years. I'm going to throw down on some pizza tonight. And I totally get that. And they will feel just horrible the next day. And I don't mean horrible mentally, like, oh, my God, I let myself down. I mean physically horrible. And so now they have a balance. Now they have a check and balance. This is what I feel like when I eat good, and this is what I feel like when I eat bad. And because of that, those instances of bad eating go longer and longer and longer and longer in between. And I've seen it happen a gazillion times with clients. And I kind of laughingly relate that to the college drinking thing, right? You know, everybody goes to college and they're young and they're out of their parents' house and they just, you know, every weekend's a party. Well, after a while, you get tired of feeling horrible on Sunday morning and you're like, maybe I need to back off on the partying a little bit. And it's kind of the same way with food. People, after they know what feeling good feels like, are not apt to go out and eat trashy food so often. It'll happen every now and again. They'll get that negative feedback and they'll go, you know what, I don't like feeling that way. And like I say, those instances will be fewer and farther between.
Yeah, you are dead on that. And, you know, I can totally relate with what you said about the weighing scale. I mean, especially for us women, and even men, I'm sure, we are so hung up with it. Like, oh, my God, why is the scale not changing? So, to our listeners, don't focus on that. I mean, focus on like what Keith said, how you feel internally and how you look. I mean, look at yourself in the mirror. You will see the difference, but don't be too hung up with what's it saying on the weighing scale, because that will discourage you. So keep going and look at those other benchmarks, those other measurements, not just that one area.
Yeah, for females, the easiest one is the dress size thing. I mean, that's in my experience, because that's just that's the go no go test, right? If a body is transforming and a body is reshaping in the proper way, the dress sizes just melt away. And it's ironic that a female, well, it's not ironic to me, but in a female's eyes, it's ironic that they can actually be gaining weight and losing dress sizes. That doesn't compute to them, but you know, when you tell them, you know, what the difference between in volume wise what a pound of muscle looks like versus a pound of fat, then it becomes to make, you know, a lot more sense. There is a lot more volume in a pound of fat than there is contained in a pound of muscle, and that shows up. You know, you multiply that by 4, 5, 6 pounds, that really shows up in a dress size or two.
All right, so women out there, you heard that. So focus on the dress size. I mean, look at the jeans you were wearing before. Compare that one. And
sure, yep.
Right, that's one of the things
those
that I
easy.
Really like.
Yeah, those are easy
check. Ways to measure your progress, exactly. And now, can you give us three things that our listeners can take action on today for them to transition to the paleo diet and make it a success?
Yeah, I think number one, and this is the first step I give every client I have, and they might blow right past this and be very, very easy with it. Some clients might struggle with this for, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and that is to identify every bit of additional sugar that's in your diet and attempt to eliminate it. That's step number one. And I think, you know, it's a step that I think we could really turn the course of American healthcare around if everybody took that one singular step. And I'm not even talking about trying to eliminate artificial sweeteners yet, just straight up additional sugar in the diet. That's the number one step. Number two is to get some form of resistance exercise into your life. For some people that are really, really overweight, quote unquote resistance exercise might mean walking, because if you're severely overweight, that extra weight you're carrying around, yeah, that does count as resistance exercise. But I think that's the big missing picture in this whole healthcare debate is, yes, absolutely, I'm totally on board with everybody being on a paleo or primal diet. And I think, and I truly, truly believe in my heart of hearts that that's the way to eat for longevity and for health during that longevity. But the missing piece of this is the resistance exercise portion. That has to be in place. There are so many ills that can be reversed just with that, just with very, very basic resistance exercise protocols. And I will say that, you know, I believe in this. You brought up the three-pronged approach, what I call the three pillars of health and fitness. And not only do I believe in it, but and Michelle believes in it as well, but we are financially tied to we believe so much in it, we are financially tied to each one of these pillars. I mean, we're partners in efficient exercise. There's a resistance exercise portion of this plan. We are totally invested, obviously, in the Paleo FX side of things. So there's the diet and the lifestyle portion. And Michelle and I also back what we think is the finest nutritional supplement company in the world as well. And so that completes the trilogy. But back to your question, yeah, so eliminate sugar, include some exercise, and on the other side, on the lifestyle side of things, sleep is so huge and so underrated. High quality sleep can totally, totally transform your life for the better. And you'll find that if you do include exercise in your daily routine, and if you do clean up your diet, the sleep will come. 9 times out of 10, any kind of sleep problems, unless they're hormonally driven, and I've seen plenty of this as well, and that's another topic for another time. But sleep will then generally take care of itself after that. If somebody loses a significant amount of weight, sleep apnea a lot of times will clear up. Sleep apnea clears up. The person is now sleeping through the night, and they feel like a new person the next day. So I would say those are the big three steps. Get sugar out of your diet, incorporate some resistance exercise into your daily routine, and let's get the sleep portion of your lifestyle figured out.
Those are excellent advice for our listeners that they can actually take action on, like today. These are so simple things. And I am on board with you with that sleep. I mean, a lot of us are like walking zombies. And I think there's an epidemic of sleep deprivation in our country today. We neglect this important part of our life, the sleep. So I am totally on board with you with that one. So to our listeners today, let me sum up those once again. Identify any additional sugar in your diet and try to eliminate those, and incorporate with some form of resistance exercise, like what you said earlier. If you are obese or overweight or like that, do some brisk walking. That counts as well. And then the sleep, nail that one out. I mean, I know everyone is busy, but I mean, if we can make time to brush our teeth, why can't we make time for a sleep?
Yeah, I mean, and it's a lot of times it takes a little bit of hacking in your lifestyle to get that done. And believe me, we run three different businesses, Michelle and I. But I know, and this is another topic entirely, this kind of gets into the body hacking thing, but through measuring my heart rate variability, I have found that if something is going to wreck me and put me under, it is lack of sleep. I'm well enough attuned to my body that I kind of knew that already, but having positive verification from looking at heart rate monitoring, it wrecks me. And this is not, I'm not an outlier. I mean, this happens to many, many, many people. You string together a few nights of either lack of sleep or poor sleep, and your immune system is run down, among other things. You're not functioning properly. It just makes for a bad life experience.
Yes, absolutely. Plus, you are not in a good mood if you don't get it.
Yeah, that too.
I see that one for myself. I mean, I'm so protective of my sleep, because otherwise, oh my God, I'm totally unrelatable on the day after.
Yeah, and I am too. I mean, I really have to defend my sleep time with it at all costs. I mean, if I'm crazy about one thing, it's getting my sleep. Second would probably be getting my workouts in, because that just makes me feel good. But I'm really like, I mean, the businesses can be, we can have, you know, the business is getting ready to melt down, and I'm like, okay, night's over. You know, I'm going to sleep. It'll be all right. It'll have to be all right. Because I'm not willing to risk my health over it otherwise.
Absolutely. Now, you sound that you have lots of things up your sleeve. So tell us about what you're doing or what you're up to right now and about your business. Our listeners would love to hear about it.
Sure. So what the business that your listeners would probably be most interested in is the Paleo FX event that will occur this spring in Austin, Texas. It's April 11th through the 13th in Austin. We will have over 100 speakers this year at the PaleoFX Symposium. And it's just a great time. If anybody has ever been to the symposium, just ask them. I mean, they'll tell you. It is a great, great time. There is a ton of information that's put out. It's very, very accessible, though. In fact, the FX in the PaleoFX is a play on the mathematical function sign in mathematics, and we want this to be a functional paleo event. In other words, we bring practice to the theory. So there's workshops, there are lectures, there's cooking demonstrations, there is an entire vendor floor that's devoted to anything and everything you can think of that's even related to paleo. any kind of products, clothing, nutritional supplements, you name it. It's all there and it's all covered. This year we will have on the main floor, we will have a Paleo 101 ongoing talks. So people who are new to Paleo can come and hang out by that stage and hear people like Rob Wolf, for instance, go up and give his elevator speech on, or his elevator pitch on why he thinks Paleo works and why he thinks it's better, a better diet option for anybody out there. And I think Michelle and I are very in tune to the existing Paleo community, and we're also in tune to people who are what you might call Paleo curious. And what we've heard from the Paleo curious is that it seems like to them that this whole concept of Paleo is so far over their heads that they can't reach it, that they can't get there, that the people within the community are so far advanced in their knowledge of science and their knowledge of diet and their knowledge of strength and conditioning that it's almost unattainable for someone from the outside to make it in. And we want to shatter that misconception, because it's anything but. I mean, this is the easiest diet anyone will ever do. It is so easy. Now, of course, there are so many rabbit holes that you can go down in biochemistry, nutritional science, exercise physiology. And I'm a geek. I mean, I love to go down these rabbit holes. But at the end of the day, it is a very, very, very basic diet. It is so easy to follow. And we want to project that image to these people who are just coming into the community. And so that's what that entire stage is devoted to. Somebody coming in, I don't know anything about Paleo, but I want to be healthy, hang out by that stage. And I mean, you will get nothing but the facts. People will tell you just the very, very basics of this diet. Now, if you want to dive into those rabbit holes and go a little bit further down the, you know, into the biochemistry, you can go just as deep as you want. In the remaining lectures that are upstairs, we'll have some super high level strength and conditioning talks. But there's something for everybody here. And Michelle and I are very, very proud of it.
Wow, sounds like it's the best place to be. And I am not going to miss it. I am so excited for it. And you said that will be in April.
April 11th through the 13th. And if anybody has been to Austin, Texas in the spring, I mean, you just, Michelle and I laugh because we've had so many people within the Paleo community who have actually moved to Austin just because it's ground zero for the Paleo movement.
Interesting.
It's very, yeah. Yeah, we call it the epicenter of physical culture.
Oh my God, and that's Austin, wow.
Yeah.
They can find the information at the paleofx.com.
Yes.
Yes, and which site, or how can our listeners connect with you and learn more about what you do and about you in general?
Sure. So I also run a blog, Ancestral Momentum. Just like it sounds, ancestralmomentum.com. I'm also at efficientexercise.com. That's the studio that I'm a partner with. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. You can look me up on Twitter at the incredibly inventive handle of Keith Norris.
I love that.
And Keith Norris on Facebook as well. Send me a friend request. I'll friend you up there. I put out a lot of information on Twitter and Facebook, and I go into a little bit more geeky, rabbit hole-ish type strength and conditioning stuff on Ancestral Momentum.
Awesome, awesome. And by the way, to our listeners, all the fantastic resources and the links mentioned in today's podcast will be made available in a beautiful infographic show notes at transitioningtopaleo.com. So all you have to do is to type in the name Keith on the search bar and it will find it for you.
Fantastic.
All right. So Keith, thank you so much for being so generous in sharing your time and your inspiring story for our listeners today, and for being a role model to many, and also for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. the Paleo fans out there, and me including, appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much for having me on, Marie. And I would just encourage everybody, every one of your listeners, to come to PaleoFX this year. They will not regret it. It's a fantastic show.
Thank you. And that will be on our show notes as well. So thank you very much. Talk soon.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Did you know there is a hormone in your body that turns your belly into a magnet for ugly fat? It literally turns the food you eat into embarrassing, pant-stretching, stubborn belly fat, even the foods you think are healthy. Discover a simple test that reveals if the belly fat hormone is sabotaging your fat loss, and learn the easy and natural ways to shut down this hormone for good, so you can have the flat stomach you deserve. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more.
Thanks for listening to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy. Now it's time to get your quick and easy step-by-step guide to transitioning to the paleo diet. This beautiful free download includes the three most important things that you need to be focusing on in order to make the transition as smooth as possible. Ready to get started? Head over to transitioningtopaleo.com right now and begin your journey. And we'll see you next time.